Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Well, hey, Blaze Church. I'm excited to be sitting here with Amy.
Yes.
My wife, you know her, and some friends of ours. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name's Abdiel, member of Blaze Church, and this is my wife.
Hi, I'm Riley.
Riley. You, we're so excited you guys are sitting here on this couch. We thought it would be cool, as we're in this series, Save the Date, for you guys to share a little bit of your story. You guys are married.
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes.
Just making sure you both know this. How long have you been married?
We married for we just had a year in March.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
First year.
So one whole year. And how old are you guys?
I'm 21.
I'm 20. Just turned 20.
Just turned 20. Yeah. So you were married at 19.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had just, we got married.
I was 20.
Exactly a week after my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I thought we were young.
Yeah. We were young. I was 19 when I proposed.
Yeah.
And then turned 20 in March and got married in August. I was 20 as well. Yeah. You guys have been married for 1 year.
Yes.
So how did you guys meet before you got married? How'd you guys meet?
We met in high school.
Yeah, high school.
High school.
High school sweethearts.
Yeah. Wow. We met like our freshman year, but then didn't like really become like closer friends until our junior year.
And that's when we started. She shot me down, she's trying to say.
Okay. Tell me about
that.
So you were pursuing her?
Yeah. So I got my car at 16. I was like one of the first kids in my class to get a car. You know, I was like, oh, I'm feeling myself, feeling good. And then I was like, oh, this girl's cute. I'm going to try to see if I can use my car's leverage. And I was like, you know, we'll take you out, we'll go downtown, we'll go skateboarding, whatever you want to do. Because she like had a skateboard. And I think she had posted something about her skateboard. And I was like, oh, I have a skateboard. She's like, yeah, you know, go, I'll take you in the car out there. And then she was like, oh, yeah, we'll see. You know, like one of those like
you don't have a chance. I don't want to say no, but you don't have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that led to like, we like always hung out, like not hung out. We just hung around other people and like saw each other.
At school, we had like mutual friends, but not until junior year, we actually had a class together.
Yeah.
So that's when we like became closer friends, I guess.
Closer friends, yeah. And our relationship, to be honest, like the start of our relationship was a little like rough. And then it was like one pivotal moment that I always remember because I prayed about it. And I was in like in my truck and I was going to track practice. And my coach didn't show up that day. And we had gotten to like a little like, not a dispute, but like a little thing. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to talk to her anymore. Like, I don't know if I want to keep this going. And then I was like, I'm going to pray about it. And I prayed about it in my truck. And God's like, have mercy and like, just give, like, have mercy on her, you know? And I was like, I feel like genuinely in that moment, I was like, wow, I think I should just have a little peace. Let me see how this moment goes. I'll go to Chipotle. She was trying to invite me to go to Chipotle with her. And I was like, I'll go to Chipotle. I'll see how it goes. And if, you know, if it's your will, Lord, we'll see what happens. And I went to Chipotle and to say the least, we talked for like 4 hours at Chipotle.
My mom called and she's like, are you alive? Like, are you okay?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because I just told her like, oh, I'm going to get some food. And like it was like four hours later.
Chipotle. Yeah. So
yeah,
I was like a big cataclysmic event, Chipotle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chipotle. I mean, Chipotle will form cataclysmic events.
Yeah.
So you prayed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that. So you have faith. You had faith in God before you started dating,
mm-hmm.
right? So prayer, it sounds like, was a part of your life. And you had this moment where you, why prayer? Like,
because that's your communication to God, right? And the Bible talks about how we're closer to God than it might seem. Like, it might seem like he's so far away of heaven, but realistically, you know, like the Holy Spirit's with us. It follows us, it guides us. And so I know that's there. And I'm like, it's time to tap in. When I'm confused, when I'm not sure, I'm like, knocking on the door, like, hey, I need some help.
And you're what? I guess a junior, you're 17?
Yeah.
And you're praying.
Yeah.
My goodness. Now, Riley, did you have faith in God at that point?
So growing up, I did not go to church.
Okay.
I would go like occasionally with like extended family for like Easter and Christmas and here and there. But I didn't go to church. I didn't know who Jesus was. I like, of course I knew there was a God, but like I didn't have like faith in him. I was just like, oh, it's just somebody, like, but I didn't understand. And then so when we started like dating, he was like, come to church. And I was like, oh, I can't go there. Like, no, I can't. And then he, like, after a lot of convincing, I was like, you know what? Like, let me give it a try. Like, obviously, to make our relationship work, like, it was something that he was like had his whole heart in. So I was like, okay, let me go and see. And as soon as I walked into our old church, I was like, I'm supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even remember the first sermon that I went to. I think it was church versus state.
The
it was
first
like political.
Sermon was political. And I was like, oh God, this is not, where's the loving peace? I was like,
oh yeah, it was,
there
yeah.
goes my chances. Yeah. And at thanks,
first,
pastor.
At first I was like, whoa, like, this is weird. But like, I don't know. But like, I just felt so loved. Like as soon as I walked in, just from like the welcome team and everything like that. And then I kept going back and I was like, okay, this is where I need to be. And then I felt it on my heart.
Wow.
And yeah, I got baptized almost a year later.
I was in boot camp. And I opened the letter, and the letter she sent me was like a picture of her getting baptized, and cried as a boot camp.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, guys, opening the letter, that is so beautiful. Yeah.
Now, were you guys engaged at that point? When did you guys get engaged?
No, so we got engaged.
After, you were in boot camp.
Yeah, I was in boot camp.
After he got out.
No, I got out, and then I already moved to Texas because mm-hmm. my first station was down there, and I was like, 4 or 5 months there, mm-hmm. and then I was like 4 or 5 months there until I came back.
You came back because
I came in November, so it was 4 months, right?
This is marriage. Yeah. You guys are just showing us, okay, bro. Listen, you're months. 1 year in. Whatever she says about a timeline is the
probably
real
right.
time.
All right, so 4 months, and then that's when I flew back, mm-hmm. and I proposed to her there in with a ring in Florida, and then
there was like long distance. Yeah. A little bit too.
Yeah.
Which is very unique.
Yeah. So he went to boot camp in September, graduated in November. Mm-hmm. I've seen him then. So it was 8 weeks, no communication. It was terrible. But that was like truly the test because obviously we weren't engaged yet. So we were like, that's the thing. Like, are we going to stick through this or like, but it there was a lot of tears, a lot of prayers, and we got through it.
Yeah.
And then I went to visit you for Christmas. So that was like the first time we had like really seen each other again, and like he wasn't like boot camped anymore because like it was hard coming home. He was like didn't know what like reality was anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the first time we had seen each other, and then you came home to propose in February, and after that it was just like back and forth. Like every like 2 or 3 months I would go visit him or he would come home. Mm-hmm. So between
trying to make it work.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so between we got married in March and then August was our wedding. So between then we were back and forth long distance.
Okay.
Yeah. That time was very like, it was pretty hard. Cause that time we were like, okay, we're saving up for the wedding. We were actually putting all this money down. So it's like, we're trying to limit ourselves on flights and limit ourselves on like going back and forth. Let's just push through it. And it was definitely hard, but it's like, we have at the end of the day, like we had a strong relationship, and it's like, in a way, it made us stronger, and it was better than if we were together the whole time in a weird way.
Yeah. So you guys got married young.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've
been told.
So how did you come to that conclusion? Because what I observe, what we observe, pastoring a church, just being in this world, right? You don't even got to be Christians. People aren't getting married at 20, 21. What drove you to that decision? How did you have peace to say, hey, this is the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with?
Yeah, I think that comes down to your intent and being intentional in what you do. And for me, like when I was dating, I was like intentional of what I want to be dating for. I was like, I want to be dating to either get married with this person, or I'd rather just go fishing by myself and do my own thing. I was like, that's how I was like, to go do my own thing. I don't have to worry about being attached to someone else. But when like we started getting together, I saw something like serious, and I prayed on it. And when I got out of boot camp and I was like, okay, my life, I just moved from my hometown. Like I'm in a whole different place. Like it's time to figure out, like put the big boy pants on. We're making life decisions. And I was like praying, talking to my dad, getting counseling. And like, if this is what you want from me, Lord, like open up the doors and open up the way, you know, for me to get married with her. And that's where it led to just like a lot of time to think, to pray, to be like, well, why am I in this relationship? Like, where do I want to see myself? And I think at the end of the day, it comes to a fear of commitment in a lot of people. And it's like, you have to make that jump, because at the end of the day, nothing's going to be perfect. Nothing's going to be planned out. Like, we're not like, oh, this is everything we have planned out for each other, set up in the road. Like, we're taking risks. Like, we're taking a risk being in a relationship, but we both are committed to making that work, right? And through Christ, like, you know, in the center of our relationship is what we have, like our glue holding us together.
You said so much there.
You're wise beyond your years.
I heard prayer, commitment to each other, intentionality, Christ at the center, right? All of that, it doesn't, age isn't the factor at that point. You're seeking counsel, talking to your dad. How about you, Riley? Like, how did you know to say yes to this guy?
Well, from the beginning, we kind of had like talked about it that like we were wanting to get married. But of course, you like say those things, not really like thinking. But yeah. Then like now looking back, I'm like, I'm glad we did have those like adult conversations in a way, even though we were so young. But yeah, I think I just like talked to family and stuff like that. And I got a lot of like negative feedback because like a lot of my family, they don't go to church and they don't have like those foundations and stuff. So when I would say like, oh, we've been praying about it, they're like, oh, you don't know anything, like you're too young. Mm. But at the end of the day, I was like, this is a commitment between us and like, and God as well. Like we don't have to really think about like, or we can take other people's like opinions into considerations, but we don't have to follow through with that. Like it's just an opinion.
Wow.
And like we had our faith and like what we wanted to do, and that's what we did.
Christ at the center. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't their story sound like ours?
It does.
Oh my goodness.
So cute and sweet.
So what would you guys say to, let's talk to young adults. You guys are in your early 20s. What would you say to that age group? You know, we're in this series, marriage, sex, relationships, save the date. Each of you give me one thing. Maybe Riley, you speak to the ladies. Okay. You just think about that. Speak to the ladies. What would you say to them? And Abdiel, what would you say to the men who are believers trying to honor the Lord in a culture? It's not easy. Maybe waiting and wondering and all of that. Just give me one thing that maybe it comes from your experience. You say, hey, here's what I would encourage you to do as you're single, maybe considering marriage or wanting marriage. What are you telling your generation?
You ladies first, or
okay, I'll go first. So I would just say like, don't get trapped in like worldly things, and like stay true to like yourself and your morals. Like if you say, oh, I'm not gonna go out and I'm not gonna do this, like stick to that. Just because a guy comes to you and they're like, oh, let me take you on a date, most of the time in today's culture, like they're like, I mean, obviously girls and guys both, like they have this picture of like, oh, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna go sleep with this person and this stuff. But like when you like know what you want, and like you want to wait till marriage and you want to wait to do all that stuff, like don't just let the worldly culture take over your life, and like stay true to who you are.
Yeah,
because I feel like that can happen a lot nowadays. It's like, oh, I'm on Tinder and I'm on Hinge and I'm on all these like dating apps where it's like people just want one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's, you have to stay true to like what you want as a person, and like don't let that take over your life. So
that's great. How about you, Abdiel?
I'd say for me, the one word, like I mentioned earlier, is actually intentionality, and be intentional. Why am I seeking this person? Why, like, think about your thoughts and be like, oh yeah, this girl. But then like, wait, why do I really even want to be with this girl? Do I actually like see her for her? Do I see her as an object? Do I see her? What are my reasons behind it? Mm-hmm. And think deeper, and don't, like we say, I guess, don't be shallow. Mm-hmm. And hey, if you're with someone and you're already in a relationship and you've been in 2, 3, 4 years, maybe it's time to be like, okay, where are we going with this? Mm-hmm. You know, are we taking the next step? Are we not? Because like I said, some people are scared of commitment. And I feel like if you feel like you want to do that next step and the other person's on the same path, like, why? I mean, at that point, why not? And it's like, you got to take risks. And anything in life, you're going to take risks, right? Any business venture, anything. And same thing with life and partnership. Mm-hmm. Take risks.
Wow. I think you're calling some people out, man. Come on, put a ring on it. If Christ is at the center, and that's what I love. Thank you guys for sharing your story. I mean, you are, I believe this is going to encourage people. You are an encouragement to your generation, to generations behind you and in front of you, because you're sharing commitment, intentionality, Christ at the center, no compromise. So I'm just blessed that you guys came and sat on this couch and shared your story. So thank you guys. Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
My name is Peter Podlis, and Cheryl and I will be married 39 years come June. So Cheryl wanted to be here today, but she's babysitting my two grandsons. So she's, you know, probably online right now with her twin sister, Gloria. So we say hello to them. This is a picture of, I guess, me back in, you know, in the 20s with Cheryl, and here we are in our 60s, you know. So the one thing I wanted to say today is that we're not experts. We're just like you guys, you know? Basically, we're two people. We got married. We love the Lord. We read our Bible. We said our prayers. We have sharp elbows, and we're not experts, okay? Number two, I wanted to say that from a reference point of what I'm going to speak about today, think of like a bell curve. In the middle of that bell curve is like 80%. That's kind of like normal, goodwill people getting married. On the fringes of that, basically, it could be like dysfunctional, like abusive. We're not in that lane. This is not that conversation today. We're talking about that 80%, okay? All right, I'll take the next slide. This is my family. You can see over on the right-hand side is Gerilyn, then me, then my son Mark, he's single, and then my daughter is married. Oh, you didn't see the wink, wink? And then here's my daughter Lauren with her son Cole. He's 3, and Jack's going to be 5, and that's her husband Grant. Okay, I'll take the next slide. And basically, the first question is like, you know, how we met. So here's a picture of Gerald and I. We're in our 20s, and the interesting thing was that we basically became Jesus followers when we were like 20. And there's another interesting thing is about 10 to 12, 15 of us that were all different walks of life, and we all kind of converged on Pete and Barb DePinto's house. And there they are, 30 years later, they're living in Pennsylvania. Pete had some like health issues. So I wanted to make it a point we stopped in and said thank you to them. Now, we were in our 20s, they're in their 30s. Every Friday night at 7:30, all 10 or 12 of us got together into this small group, and every Friday night at 7:30, you see little Scott, little Justin, and little Molly in their pajamas waving to us as they walked up the stairs to go to sleep. As parents, they were tired, they were run down, but the point is they shared what they had. And here I am, you know, I'm gonna be honest, I'm at the crossroads, I'm at the Y in the road, my life could have went to the left or to the right. But the fact is that my friend Jack Becker invited me to come to this small group. Basically, my Friday nights was leaving my old friends and finding new friends. And it changed my life. So thank you to small group leaders, hang in there, just like the DePintos did, because it was like a wonderful thing. And obviously, that's where I met Gerilyn. Now, you think, you know, we went out, we got engaged, blah, blah, blah. But if you ask Gerilyn, a couple years later, Gerilyn said, listen, I'm going to share something with you. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. You remember that first time you walked into the small group? I'm like, yeah. She said, honestly, what came into my brain when I looked at you, I said, look at this guy. He ain't making it. And I said, what do you mean I'm not making it? And she said, I didn't think you were going to be a Jesus follower. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, she said, no, that was absolutely my train of thought. You know, so I guess God had another plan, and so much for women's intuition, right? All right, I'll take the next slide. Now, the first thing I want to talk about, this is my mom, 92 this week. Notice her hair. Genetically, she's never had gray hair. Yeah, think about that. Gosh, I gotta read from this side. So in Matthew 19:6 says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And even though I read that verse, when I got engaged, my mom said to me, listen, I want to talk to you for a minute. And my mom said to me, listen, when I got married, my mother came to me and said, I want you to hear this very clearly. When you get married, you are never, ever coming back home. And she was serious. And what she meant by that, and what my mom meant, said it to me, you're going to have arguments. You're going to have disagreements. When you make a commitment, you make your bed and you lie in it. You honor that. You're not going to bail out and come back to my house. You're not allowed to come back. All of a sudden, like, the reality hit, and I remember that day like it was yesterday. So the commitment that God has said, and my mother has said, and her mother said, let no man separate what God has put together. I'll take the next one. The next thing is protect your circle. God, I'm having trouble reading this. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave or cling unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So what God is saying mentally, physically, emotionally, when you get married, you're one flesh. But also, early on in your marriage, you have other relationships. And the key is to protect your circle. Your default now is each other. You might be best friends with your mom. You might be best friends with all your family or with your best friends. You might have guy friends. You might have girlfriends. They're all great relationships. However, they infiltrate your circle. And then all of a sudden, when things aren't going right, all of a sudden your default, instead of being you, all of a sudden you're going to default back, oh, I'm going to go talk to my mom and hang out with her because it's easier. And I'm telling you right now, protect that circle. And you might be saying, how do you know? I'll take the next one. I married a twin. Now, the beauty is that God has created a twin as unbelievable. It's a relationship that you can't even wrap your head around. Here's a picture of, like, when Gloria got pregnant, my wife was pregnant. Gloria had a girl, we had a girl. When Gloria had a boy, we had a boy. And if it's the craziest thing, that think about every day you wake up and you say, wow, there's someone who looks like me, thinks like me, talks like me, acts like me, finishes your sentences. Think about that relationship. Think about that default that they have. And the wonderful thing about Gloria, she is like an unbelievable Christian woman. She has, like, you know, blessed me personally, blessed our family. Beautiful person. However, can Geraldine get lazy and default back to that twinship? Absolutely. Was it an issue? Absolutely. And we had to work on that. So what I'm trying to say to you, if you are single, protect your circle, because husband and wife, you are the default. I'll take the next one. And also, a lot of good times in this life is like when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And the one thing that I really, really appreciate about Geraldine is that she is a believer in the Lord. The foundation of our marriage has been our faith. Early on, we basically had our whole life that was circled around our local church. We got involved. We had Christian friends, Christian couples. When our kids got involved, whatever, they had Christian friends. Everything revolved around that Christian community. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing to have that one common thing. When things aren't going right, it's like the question you ask, what does God say? It's not what my opinion is, what her opinion is. To have that commonality was unbelievable. I'll take the next one. Now, good times, I couldn't figure out a way how to describe it. That's our refrigerator. Every place that Geraldine and I went and our kids went, we would buy a magnet. It might be 50 magnets up there. And the point is this, every magnet has a story. And behind those stories are good, bad, or indifferent, but we got out there and we did it. And my comment to you guys today is live today, don't live for tomorrow. And like life is like a window. Every day that window slowly closes, wherever you are in life. Let's just take the stage if you have kids. From 0 to 18, that window's open. When 18 comes, the window's done. You don't get it back. And the other thing is, you might say, you know, look at all those magnets, and we didn't have a ton of money. If we drove, we were probably camping. If we flew, Motel 6. And they always kept the light on. So my point is, just get out there, beware of the window, because it closes. I'll take the next one. But the other thing is, if you do get married, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in life, and I want to spare you this. You will have many troubles in life, and you're saying, ah, that's kind of interesting. You have your wedding picture up there. That's day one. Geraldine and I, our parents, are Roman Catholic. We were raised Roman Catholic. When we were getting married, it wasn't an issue for Geraldine, you know, family, whatever, but it was an issue for mine. And so we sat down with my mother and father, and we said, look, we're getting married. My dad said to me, listen, you want to know what? We're Catholic. We're not going to a Protestant church. We think you're in a cult, and you do not invite my family, and we're not coming. So all you guys that are getting married, whatever it is, do we have a parents meet parents? No. Rehearsal dinner, they show up? No. Are we going to contribute and be part of this? No. Peter was on his own. Nobody. So the wedding day comes, 2-minute warning, my family showed up. 1 minute, my dad and mom slip in the back pew. So this is us, set our vows, coming down the aisle. The last pew, we make that turn around it. My father gets up, goes to the back, talks to Mr. Simpson, who was an elder who married us. I condemn you to hell for stealing my son from my faith. Right out loud. Crickets. Everybody's like, just like you guys. Whoa. The day he blew it up, Geraldine's brother basically wanted to punch him. Awful. However, that was day one. God still blessed our marriage. When there's bad times, did that issue ever close? No. 2018, my dad passed away. The issue remained open. Okay, I'll take the next one. Now, I can go through them all. I could stand here for another half hour and just tell you about the tragedies and the issues. Upper left-hand corner, my younger brother, an alcoholic, died in a house fire. But I found his personal Gideon Bible. My daughter's 3 years old. We're building our house. She's walking. We lost track of her. Just fell down the stairwell into the basement. If you saw somebody going 100 miles an hour down County Road 51 to the hospital, it was me. I was up on the ladder a couple of years ago where that word Tyvek is. I fell. I should have broke my neck and been dead. Here's my daughter now, 33 years old, has cancer. Here I am in the lower right-hand corner, 3 years in federal court being sued. There I am in the other right-hand, in the left-hand corner, had a heart attack. I thought I was dead. But God was there through every situation. Okay, I'll take the next one. Now, the interesting thing is what I'm calling the secret sauce is kind of like we're going to put it together, and this is what we've experienced as husband and wife. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Now, here it is, Jesus, before he's getting crucified, tells his disciples to wash one another's feet. And here it is, like Jesus, you think about it, he holds the whole world, he holds everything in his hands, and he takes those hands and he washes 12 pair of feet. And he tells us to do the same thing. So you want to think about, like, what is love as husband and wife? And there it is. And it's a simple thing saying, I am second. I'll take the next one. So the secret sauce, we have these phrases from Jesus to say, tell me what love is about. And he says, submit to one another. Turn the other cheek. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Every fiber in your body says, what are you, crazy? And is it a contrarian point of view where Jesus is saying, that's where true love is? And if you think about that picture, for a husband to say, I am second, and a wife to say, I am second, it's almost like death to yourself, and you become this new entity where God is saying, that's true love. And obviously, it's hard to do. It's not easy. And for all of us, whether you're a husband or wife, there's a public side, there's a private side, and there's a secret side. All of us live in that secret side. Nobody knows that, but you know that. It's where a lot of issues are. It's where a lot of places you hide. But he knows. And think about that. God says, I knew you before you were created. I know you. And he's like, every day I'm asking you, come to me. Talk to me. Tell me what it is. And if you're not doing that, you're not getting his power, his healing power to basically have the ability to say, I am second. And after 39 years, I have finally ding-dong learned to say, I have to have a personal relationship with God on a daily basis, every day. Whether I grind it out or whatever it is, it's where I have found the victory. And what you find is you become soft. He changes you from the inside out. And as you become softer, you have the ability to say, I'm going to put my wife first. Here it is in the morning. Every day I get up early, right? I make coffee. 2 cups. Geraldine's getting up later. She has the cup. Day after day, after month after month. One day I get up late. Get up, go to the kitchen. Is my cup out? Absolutely not. You know, she didn't think of it. Sorry, Geraldine. The bottom line is this. I'm okay. My wife's a good-willed person. I could blow up. However, I've become softer. I'll take the next one. So now we're in the fourth quarter. The back nine. I can see the clubhouse. My hand is not on the doorknob, you know. However, it's an interesting quarter to be in now. And the biggest thing for Gerald and I is probably elder care. Gerald's mom was 100 years old, just died recently. You saw my mom at 92. It's a lot. It's like dealing with relatives, with care, with them or whatever. It's stress upon stress upon stress. But you start thinking and you start looking around and all of a sudden that generation is passing. And then my friends and my peers are passing. And also you start noticing your own body is starting to decay. It's not what it used to be. And all of a sudden you start seeing the end game and you start thinking of like, what is all this about? Because it's getting closer. I'll take the next one. And here's our good friends, John and Max. Peconic Monument Works. And the interesting thing I love about these guys is think about that, that people come to them and they say, listen, we want to have a lasting memory. So what they do is design, create, fabricate, and install monuments. And it's kind of like a memory of, let's say, the summation of your life. And the interesting thing is my mom likes to go to the cemetery to see her husband. And when we're all said and done, what she tells me to do is to drive real slow around the whole perimeter of the cemetery. And what she does is she reads every headstone, says the names out loud, and remember these people, and it's sad. But yet also she's reflecting, and she's saying, I'm still here, but they're not. So I sat down, and I said to myself, what do I want our marriage, Geraldine and I, one day when we are in St. Isidore Cemetery with our headstone that's there, how do I sum up what our life means? And it took me a while, and I started playing around with that, and so I came up with something, and I'm going to share that with you. You can tell me later whether you like it or you don't, and I'll take it. And here it is. And you might think I'm crazy. He designed his own tombstone? And the point is this. I started with a rough-hewn rock on the bottom saying from dust to dust. Then on top of it, I put 2 rectangles. I'm a little taller than Geraldine, so I'm on the left. She's on the right. But the other interesting thing, what I did is I made sure I offset the rectangles. So again, I'm in the back. Geraldine is in front. I am second. If you looked in the back, I'm in front, she's in behind, okay? And the other thing is that when you look at that, what I tried to do is to say, how do you sum up Peter and Geraldine's marriage? And the interesting thing is what I tried to do is to say, it's not about me. It's not about Geraldine. It's just about the love of Jesus Christ. and you can't even see any identification other than, you know, the name Podlist, but you're like, who is that? You're going to have to walk up there and look down to see Peter and Geraldine. Again, trying to be as selfless as possible. So, I guess my one question is, if there's anybody today that walked in who doesn't know Jesus Christ, and you've heard a lot about him today, and it's a very simple question. You got these two pieces of wood today, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to your heart right now, and you know what that is, and if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to pick that wood up. Okay. Number two, I'm going to ask everybody else to take your two pieces of wood out. Okay. Just tell me when you guys are ready. Oh, if you didn't get the cue. So, for everybody else, this is my question. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you're widowed, whatever. My question is this. Do you want to live your life in experiencing the love of Christ? And if that is you today, what I'm going to ask you to do is put these two together like this and stand up and hold that up. If you want this to represent your life when it's all said and done, will you stand now? Okay. So we got everybody? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we're standing here today. We're holding your cross up high because we want to live for you. We don't want to live for ourselves. We want to love like you loved us. We want to obey the commands that you've given us, that we want to put each other second. We know how hard that is. And my prayer is that all of us meet with you every day to get the strength, to get the power, to get the healing, and to get your love. So once again, we thank you for everything. Amen.